Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go. Episode, what is it, Ed?
69.
Bill and Ted's favorite episode. So let's get right into it. We're waiting on Crystal Ball down at the bottom. He's trailing the play like James Worthy on the fast break.
Oh.
So we got a really, really good email this week. Sports related. Ed, before we get going, we're going to have a special thing with Goon God coming up. So keep your eyes on that. And speaking of Goon God, let's hit this email. Go ahead, Ed.
All right. This email is brought to you by Goon God, goonguard.com. Check them out. There is a discount code 1973. Check out Andy. He's holding up the package. All right. So this one comes from Stanley from Texas. He goes, it's about championships. Fellas, in your opinion, who is the greatest player from all four major sports never to win a championship? Stanley, thank you. That's probably one of the best questions that we've ever had. So thanks for writing in, brother.
Ed, could you read that email slow for Brad?
Jesus Christ.
All right, sure. This is Brad, we're going to move you up to the front.
Start with the hockey, Brad.
Start with the hockey. Is
the greatest player from all
don't want me to go first?
Four major sports.
So,
you know, there are four major sports.
How do you think we should hit this? Should we go round table and do one sport at a time?
Yeah. Probably 69. Probably 69 style.
Ooh. Yeah, 69 in it.
Nice. Guy on the top, guy on the bottom.
That would be, from my, the way mine are at the stack, that would be Andy and Kristen.
Yeah, I don't like that
matchup.
You guys
want to lead us off?
Hey, look, it's Gonzo.
All right, we'll start. Let's go NBA first, seeing that we're heavy on the basketball as of late.
Oh, I got to find my NBA list.
My first pick, NBA, Charles Barkley. That was the first person I thought of when I thought of the email. Charles Barkley is my pick. Thomas, who you got?
I'm going old school. I'm going to go with Elgin Baylor.
Okay,
AC, sure. That's your squad. You should have had that one.
Shorts. They said the question is the greatest player without a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley. Lights out.
Elgin Baylor never won either.
Chris, who you got?
For basketball or for anything? What are we doing here?
We're doing basketball. Follow along. Ed, move him to the front.
Chris, you are now going to be firmly moved to the front of the class, brother. We're going to call on you every single time now. Come prepared, motherfucker.
Watch your tone.
Watch my tone.
How about Tracy McGrady?
More than Charles Barkley?
I mean, I'm just trying to get something different here, okay?
There's no right or wrong answers. Except when Brad gets talking.
Okay. Ed, who you got? NBA.
I'm going with Barkley, man. That was to go with you, Andy. That was the first person I thought about. I mean, I was standing in the hot shower tonight, and I was like, you know, who should I pick? I was like, it was Barkley. Hands down.
Standing in a hot shower thinking about Charles Barkley. Gotta be episode 69. I hope that soap was above the waist, Ed. Who you got, Brad?
I like the Charles Barkley pick. If we were picking the greatest basketball player to never win a championship turned announcer / analyst. So I went a different route. I picked Chris Paul, New Orleans Pelican alum. Dude is still actively playing. He is probably one of the greatest current basketball players on any roster. At the end of his career, sadly, it looks like he's probably never going to win a championship. 12-time All-Star, 11-time All-NBA. Chris Paul had a very great career. He did come close in 2021. Of course, you know, they didn't win. So that's my pick, Chris Paul.
Phantom, who you got?
I'm going with mailman Karl Malone.
Karl Malone.
Good one.
Absolute good one. You can see that there's an age gap with the picks already off the rip from the class of 73 and then the Young Bucks.
Oh.
Yeah, me and Chris both picked pretty modern players.
Yeah. Yeah, we like an era when the shorts were short.
Yeah.
Hey, Patrick Ewing. Huh? That's another good one.
At least you're standing, you know, you're talking Hall of Famers now. So, you know, it's the greatest player to never win a championship. So let's go MLB. I'm going to go deep on this one. I'm going to go Ted Williams. That was the first person I thought of. You know, him and Yastrzemski being growing up in a Red Sox era. You know, that's kind of no brainer. Tom, who you got?
Well, I originally had Ted Williams written down, but I'll go with somebody different. But I will say Ted Williams, and he did everything he did. Had 521 homers, 2,654 hits, 2 triple crowns, 2 MVPs, 19-time All-Star, and he missed three years so he could go fight.
He would be a pilot for the Marine Corps in Korea,
Yep, in his prime. So I'll go with somebody different. I'll go modern. I'm going to go with Ken Griffey Jr.
Ooh,
now, that's who I had as my honorable mention. You can tell the era when I actually watched it will be where my picks are coming from. So, Chris, who you got?
I'm going to go with a guy that I grew up watching and thoroughly enjoying pitch against the Red Sox, even though he played with – I'm going Keith Kachuk style with the mouthpiece today, by the way. Even though he absolutely annihilated the Red Sox every time he pitched, and it irked me to my bone, but the dude was an amazing pitcher. The 2-time Cy Young, Roy Halladay. We all know his tragic end with the whole airplane crash and everything, but that dude was just an absolute beast playing for the crappy-ass Toronto Blue Jays.
Mm. Ed, who you got? Baseball. Let's go.
Nolan Ryan.
That's not true. He won with the Mets.
All right, my bad.
Well, Google it. I had to Google it.
Ed, okay. you want to pick another one?
I have to go if it's not Nolan Ryan, I'll go with Ted Williams then. You know that
you don't want to go Yastrzemski.
Yeah.
Go Jim Ed.
I go with Yaz. That's fine.
All right, Bradford. Who you got?
I'm gonna pick this guy because I grew up in San Diego, California. We met him at the drive-thru of a McDonald's. Ooh. He is a classy guy. We were just, me and my brothers, just 3 young pups, you know, and we look over in McDonald's. This is what the world was back in the day. You can meet pro baseball players at the fucking McDonald's. Tony Gwynn, just waiting for his Big Mac.
Yep. One of my favorites from when I was a kid. Yeah.
Absolute legend, childhood hero. We were, you know, we lived in San Diego. It was, you know, every time we were playing ball in the yard, every one of us wanted to be Tony Gwynn. Great baseball player.
Phantom. Great guy. To you.
You guys all had great players, but I'm going with the greatest baseball player of all time, my man, Barry Bonds.
Damn, he never won?
Barry Bonds never won.
Damn.
Yep, that was on my list too. But you know, I knew somebody else on this podcast probably would have, so I wanted a little diversity in the picks. Before we get to the second half, Chris, is that a Goon God mouthpiece you had in? I hope it is.
Yes, sir, it was, absolutely.
Okay, we need you just to promote a little bit.
Perfect fit.
There you go. Perfect. Look at that.
He was showing it up when Ed was doing the promo. He was showing it. I saw it.
Fantastic. Let's go NFL. My pick for the greatest football player to never win a Super Bowl. I know I'm going to – I was right down the middle with this, but I'm going Dan Marino.
And literally all 6 of us were going to say Dan Marino.
I got an honorable mention on that.
That was mine.
That was mine.
Want me to throw out the honorable mention?
No,
you're gonna steal both my fucking picks, guy.
Barry Sanders. Yeah, Tom, who you got?
Well, you just gave both my picks, so I'm going to go old school, and I'm going to go defense. I'm going to go with Jack Youngblood. He's been there a couple times, never won. Guy was an unbelievable player. I'll go with him.
Nice.
Dan Fouts.
Good pick. Good pick, Ed.
Because I was going to go with Marino, but, you know, Dan Fouts would be number two.
I was gonna go with Chris next, but you jumped right over him. So, Chris, take your time. Ed, stepped in front of you in line, pushed you out of the cafeteria lunch line, said, give me this slice of that shepherd's pie. Let's go.
And then I went into his locker and I smashed his glasses.
There you go. Who you got?
All I know is I'm not going to pick someone that actually won a Super Bowl before, okay? So, Dan Marino, is there a better pick than Dan Marino? Barry Sanders. Let's go with the murder. Let's not say murderer. Alleged murderer himself. O.J. Simpson.
Ooh, heavy pick
Bomb running back. Never won a championship.
Ed, seeing that you jumped over Chris, you're going still Dan Fouts?
I am.
Okay. Bradford, who you got?
I don't think Calvin Johnson ever won a Super Bowl, did he?
Nope.
Probably one of the greatest wide receivers my generation ever saw. Completely obliterated his career with the Detroit Lions. And went on to be pretty successful in Dancing with the Stars, however. No Super Bowls.
Before we get to the Phantoms pick, I got a question. Randy Moss, did he ever win a Super Bowl?
Nope. Did not.
Not even with New England?
There you go.
That's the year they lost to the Giants.
That was the year they lost in the Super Bowl, and they lost to the Giants.
There you go. Just a little point to ponder there.
Mm.
Phantom, who you got?
I am now, as an Emmitt Smith fan, this pains me to say, but probably the best running back I ever saw, Barry Sanders.
Mm.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer pick. So, now, for the big sport, the one you all come to watch, my pick, greatest player to never win the Stanley Cup, third all-time in points, Marcel Dion. That's my pick. I know that there's plenty, but got to go with greatest player never to win. Thomas, who you got?
Well, once again, I had Dion, but I'll go with somebody else. Sorry, Leafs fans, don't want to rub any more salt in your wounds, but I'm going with Matt Sundin.
Chris, who you got?
Sundin is a great one.
You got any Bruins player from 2011 back?
Of course.
I know who you're going with. Disappoint.
Yeah, we all know. I was going to go with Eric Lindros, but that's a big one. But I wanted to stay. I wanted to stay home. I did want to stay home. You're thinking I want to mention Cam Neely, which is a great one, but I'm still not there. I'm thinking the guy that I idolized. I had pictures all over my room of this guy, autographed pictures. I still remember the exact place I was in the day that my brother called me and said, dude, guess what? And I'm like, what?
Buckwheat has been shot.
The Bruins just traded Joe freaking Thornton. And I shit
my pants. That's what I thought you were going to say.
I literally shit my pants and cried at the age of 13. It was the worst day of my life. I love Joe Thornton. Always loved Super Joe. I so badly was rooting to see him win one even after he left. And it just never happened. I just wanted to see this dude hoist the Stanley Cup. And I feel bad for him. Greatest. I was always the big center guy. I like the assist man. I'm not huge on the goal scorers. I always liked all my guys were Adam Oates, Mark Savard, Joe Thornton. I like the playmakers. And that dude just like literally was everything to me growing up and watching the Boston Bruins play when I was a teenager and really falling into hockey. And I would love to have seen him hoist one up.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you want him to come on the podcast and talk to us.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
One condition, if he comes on the podcast, you have to shit your pants again.
I will. I promise.
Why? We'll broadcast it.
I will. And I'll take a scoop out of it, and I will lick my fingers clean if
that's too far, buddy. Too far.
Yeah, cut it off. Joe Biden knew when to cut it off too.
Yeah. Mama AC is listening. She don't want to hear about her.
Yeah. Earmuffs. So Ed, I'm proud of you. You didn't step in front of Chris. Who you got? We're waiting. Who you got?
You know, I'm gonna go with a dark horse here. I'm gonna go with my favorite player.
So when you say dark horse, you're going Jerome Iginla.
That was number two. That was number two. But Paavo Bure.
Okay. All right. That's a decent pick. There he comes. The hockey guru himself. The man from Hazard County.
Now,
who you got?
Me?
Come on, Brad. Don't disappoint.
I really want me to say?
Sure.
I don't know a single person y'all have said so far.
Whew.
So I Googled hockey players, and the only one I recognized, I don't even know if I'm saying this right. I do remember the guy. He played for the Nashville Predators, PK Subban.
Okay. He's an analyst on the show.
Yeah, PK?
On the broadcast.
I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
Okay. All right. Phantom, I know who you're going to pick. It's a poor choice.
Not a poor choice.
Go ahead.
Should be in the Hall of Fame. One of the greatest American-born players of all time. My man, right here, good old JR, Jeremy Roenick.
So what you're saying is you want him on the podcast.
Put him on the podcast.
Hey, he's on my list.
Should have said him. You'd have been right. JR's the guy.
So
now,
are we wrapping up this email and moving on to more
sports? Academy alum, right?
Good.
Let me get one more yep. thing. Stanley, was it? That was the guy's name that did yes. this email? Awesome. Yep. Probably one of the best questions we've had. We could probably use up this whole episode on this. But I want to mention one out of the four major sports that we're not talking about. All right. It comes from my culture. This Portuguese, okay? Mr. Cristiano Ronaldo, okay? I've idolized that guy growing up. He's had ton of league championships. He's won the Ballon d'Or winner five times, I believe. Euro title, the guy's just amazing. And he still has not been able to get that World Cup. And he's probably not.
I'll throw in an honorable mention from a coach, Don Cherry. Never won a Stanley Cup. There's my coaching pick. Grapes, legit. All right. So, Tom, last week we didn't talk about staying on the basketball topic. We're going to talk about the passing of one of the great Celtics players. And I believe we won a championship with the Portland Trail Blazers also, Bill Walton. Thoughts on the passing of Bill Walton?
One of the greatest college players back when he played of all time. And if he didn't have so many injuries as he got older and when he got in the NBA, who knows how many he would have won or what his stats would have looked like. He was just phenomenal. And then he really did a really good job. It surprised me how well he did doing college basketball. And I think he did some pro games too as well, but he was quite the character. And I remember most when he was with the Celtics, because that's when I was really into basketball. And he was just, I think he won the Sixth Man Award, and he was so selfless because as good as he was, he came off the bench and played with Bird and McHale. And it's a big loss. And unfortunately, what was it? Cancer, I think it was that he. So just showed you, it doesn't matter how much money you have. Cancer takes no prisoners.
Yeah. Anybody else want to share any thoughts on the passing of Bill Walton?
I think the thing that not enough people, I don't know if they know or don't know, but I guess he had like a really, really bad like stuttering problem, and to end up being like a TV analyst the way that he was, to like to overcome that after, you know, take away like his greatness of his playing career. But the guy had just a successful post career, that it, and to know that he had like a speaking disability and to end up being on TV for as long as he was is pretty outstanding.
Yeah, the thing that stands out about Bill Walton is the pop culture side of him. He was all around, like, huge music guy, and there's all kinds of videos of him, like, through the years, like, at concerts, and people would record him. And
Grateful Deadhead.
Grateful Dead guy and all that. So, yeah, sad to say that since we started the podcast, a lot of the guys that we watched growing up are slowly fading off. So, yeah, let's speaking of fading off real quick, pop culture, Pat Sajak all done. The professor is recording the last episode of Wheel of Fortune. So, you know, who wasn't a fan of Vanna White? She had a huge following in the 80s. I can remember going into Spencer's, and actually somebody that appears on this podcast when I used to go over his house had a Vanna White poster in his room. And I'll bring that up the next time said person is on the show. But yeah, if he denies it, he's lying. Thoughts on it? Professor, give us a little Wheel of Fortune.
Guy, he's a pop culture icon, really. I mean, he's been around, I don't know how many years he did it, 20, 30 years. I mean, it just shows you that everything's changing now with he's leaving. I don't know how it's going to be the same with Ryan Seacrest, but we'll see how he does there. But
not the same.
Had Alex Trebek leaving, and actually tonight on his last three guests, he had Vanna White as him, and she was on as a contestant, and then he had the two Jeopardy hosts, Ken Jennings and Mayim Bialik, were on there. So,
when you
think, got one of those for me?
Who would you? When you think,
bro, Chris just chopping on gun.
Go! I mean, pass them around, bro.
When you think generation, the big three of probably game show hosts is probably Bob Baca, Pat Sajak, and Alex Trebek. That's your big three of probably our generation. So Pat Sajak, another end of an era. And, you know, just tells you we're getting old in the nicest possible way. So let's talk some sports. Let's keep it going with you guys were tuned in to the NBA Finals, and I was not. I believe I was
not much of a game.
Yeah. So, who wants to bring us up to speed on the Celtics? Professor, what do you got?
Sure, I'll do it. Hey, first of all, Scotty, Darren, start your time, your clock right now, because we're talking basketball for you.
But start the timer. Let's go.
I originally had said Celtics in six. After watching game one, I think it's going to be five at the very most. They just came out, and I'm so impressed with Joe Mazzulla and his. I don't know if they had Brad Stevens and Van Gundy helping them out with some of the game planning, but their game plan was spot on. They did perfect defense. I mean, they did the old school Celtics where they let Jordan, back in the day, they let Jordan score his 30, 40 points, just shut down everybody else, and you still win the game. That's what they did with Doncic last night. They never double teamed him. I think that shocked them because they didn't really know how to act. They just kept switching guys out and just covering with different people. At one time it'd be Al Horford, the next time it'd be Derek White. And I mean, he did well. He scored 30 points, but they shut everyone else down. And Kyrie had a horrible game shooting wise. He can say after the game, he didn't think the crowd was that loud, but it seemed to affect him. I mean, I think it was something like 6 for 23 or something shooting. And couple of his shots hit the side of the backboard. It was so bad. And Celtics just stopped them from shooting the corner threes, which is Dallas's bread and butter. And they stopped Doncic. Doncic only had one assist in the game. And I think they won with Tatum not really having a very good game. I mean, he had shooting-wise, he didn't do well. He had a complete game, but wasn't one up to his standards. And I just think the Celtics now in five at the very least.
Brad, you also watched the same takeaway as the professor.
Yeah, I was gonna compliment the professor because his last week's you know, basically, you know, his analysis of what he thought the game was gonna be, he was spot on. They let Luka play. He had a great game. They booed Kyrie Irving so loud that the announcers, you couldn't even speak over the how loud the crowd was. And it was every time he got the ball, they were absolutely relentless. He had to have been rattled. They did they game planned very well. So they made it to the finals based off this Kyrie, Luka, feeding the ball to the other players. You know, up to this point, they had a lot of assists. They had a lot of oops. They had a lot of quick pass to the, you know, these, you know, real violent, you know, slams from their big men. You know, they call them the Twin Towers, Lively and Gafford. Every time they went for an oop, somebody was there to block it. Every time they went to the big man so he could slam it down, somebody was there to block it. They had zero answer for Porzingis. It was his first game back, too, so I don't know if they were just sleeping on him or counting on him not being 100% healthy. But that guy couldn't miss. Every time he touched the ball, he scored. And if he had a bad matchup where Dallas thought they had Lively on him, now it's going to shut him down, Boston would just send a pick. They would have to change up men. It'd be one of the small guys on him. Boom, he'd hit the three. It was rough. I quit watching like midway through the fourth. It was rough.
Did Chris, did you end up watching it? I know you're a big basketball guy.
I'm not, but I you know, games like this you have to watch. I'm still blaming this on that idiot that stole the beer from Luca. You know, this is karma, bitch. Let the dude enjoy. Let the dude enjoy a beer. Let him loosen up. You know, he's like got, you know, he's all stiff right up the poop chute, and he's out there struggling. I mean, 33 points is not struggle, but let's be honest. That's just bad juju for the team, dude. Come on. 18 points, ass whooping, well deserved.
The Mavs look tired. They look absolutely gassed out. So hopefully they get some rest, they recoup, they play better in game two.
So speaking of loosening up, what is going viral is the Edmonton Oilers fan is going viral.
That was 3 minutes and 54 seconds of basketball talk, just to segue nice. In there.
Well, Tom pretty much covered the whole thing in a nutshell. I mean, but, you know, and the whole reason that we're recording on a Friday night is so that why did you say let's record on Friday night?
So we can place our picks for the Stanley Cup Finals.
There you go. So let's talk some Stanley Cup final. I don't know how many weeks we're going to get left out of the hockey, probably this week and maybe next week. And then we'll be on to our summer festivities. So Ed, you have the floor. Let's start with, what do you think is going to happen starting tomorrow night?
I think it's going to go 7. I think it's going to be a very physical series. I think that, I think you have, let's see, there were two teams since January 1 or the All-Star break that have the most wins. One's Florida and the other one's Edmonton. They're two of the best teams. Both goalies are hot. Both goalies' save percentage, if I remember correctly, have gone up through each one of the series that they've played in. And now we're pretty much working. Both teams are going to have about 6 days of rest, 7 days of rest. Everybody's going to be a little bit more refreshed, all those bumps and bruises. Talent-wise, I think that from skating and passing and that type of thing, I think Edmonton has a little bit of an edge. But my brain just tells me Florida because they're muckers in their grinders. And to go back to Andy's point of many, many weeks ago, the sandpaper theory, I think Florida's going to do it in 7.
There you go. So, Tom, write these picks down.
Oh, yes.
Ed said Florida in 7. So we're going to go to the Phantom. Phantom. What do you got? I know what you're a betting man. We know you like to throw a couple bucks around.
Some say.
Who's your pick?
I am going with Edmonton Oilers in 7. I think it's just set up for McDavid to win. I want to see how they call the games. If all of a sudden Florida's coming out and they're trying to play their style, they start putting Edmonton on the power play because the refs start calling everything. They're not letting them play. Huge advantage for Edmonton. Skinner's been hot, like Ed said. If he can continue that play, Nurse is kind of coming around a little bit too. I guess you have the outlier of Barkov, who I saw a great stat on, between playing against Pasta, Cooch, and Zibanejad. Only on the ice for a -1 for the whole playoff so far against all the other team's top players. So he's going to be going against McDavid. McDavid is definitely better than the 3. Well, if he doesn't have to stop him, but if he can keep him in check, that might lean things a little bit towards Florida. But then you still got Leon on the other line, and we'll see what Bennett can do with him. It's a nice little side story to that, too, is that you got Bennett and Tkachuk playing against Edmonton in the finals, and they were a big part of that Battle of Alberta that was going on before. So they're old friends. So that'll be interesting, too. But if you look back on it, too, the Oilers always ended up beating Calgary, so they kind of have their number a bit. So I'm going Edmonton.
We're going to the hockey capital of the United States for Bradford and his pick, live from Hazard County. What do you got?
Edmonton in six. Okay. Not, I have no justification for the team I picked or for how many games.
Okay, so that's a good pick because Dave Portnoy said Oilers in six, and he's been winning nothing but money during these playoffs.
Portnoy's such a geek. I'm not picking the same as him.
There you go. Set in stone. Professor, write that down.
Got it.
Come on, man. One bite. Everybody knows the rules. Come on,
yeah,
man.
I'm so sick of that guy.
Cristobal, who you got?
Love Portnoy. I mentioned him last week. He's on fire right now. He's probably going to win the Celtics one. I don't think Mr. David and Mick Seidel is going to be able to put up with the punishment that the Panthers are going to send them. I also think Stuart Skinner's mustache is going to weigh him down in the crease, and he's going to fall flat on his face. I am not a fan of mustaches. And we're going to go with the Florida Panthers in five.
Says the man with a beard.
It's not a mustache, bitch.
Next week, we all need to have mustaches just for Chris.
Oof. Get the Austin Matthews stash going. That's another one. Like, what are you doing, dude? Shave that thing off. Come on. Oof.
Don't make me throw a Klondike bar at you, bro.
So my pick is kind of eclectic with this one because, you know, I really want to see the Panthers win just because I love that style of hockey. Their road to get there has been harder than I feel the Oilers. They beat really good teams to get all the way there. It'd be kind of anticlimactic to go 2 years in a row and pull a Buffalo Bills where you don't win. I think they're healthier than they were last year. And I think they're going to do it. So I'll be wicked conservative with this one and go Florida in seven. So even though I'd like to see them finish it out quicker, I still think that this is the best series that Bob Roski has been, not the weaker goalie going into it. I think he's actually better than Skinner going into it. So once I think, like the Phantom said, it's all going to come down to the calls. If they're already setting the tone where the referees are kind of willing Edmonton to win, then it's going to be tough for them. But if they can, you know, everybody thought that when they played Tampa Bay that it was going to be a struggle with them getting Tampa Bay on the power play. So much for that theory. So kind of the same kind of setup. So, Professor, who you got?
First of all, this is my pick of the week, so I'm going to do my promo. Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything they brew is in-house, including their beers, seltzers, vodka sodas, and the hard iced teas. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. All right, Edmonton, Florida. Florida's depth of four lines against McDavid, Draisaitl, and Hyman. I'm going to go with Florida. The big key is Florida has to stay out of the box and can't let Edmonton get on the power play. That power play is too strong. But I think the Panthers will grind on them with four lines, and they're going to wear them down. I think the big key, I won't say it's a key, but a lot of those Edmonton guys haven't been there before. There's a lot of pressure. They've got the whole country of Canada, the pressure's on them. They haven't won no Canadian team's won since what, 93? I think there's a lot of pressure on them. I'm gonna go with Florida and five.
Ooh,
damn.
Wow.
Gentlemen sweep.
Wow.
Boom.
The gentleman sweep.
Me and Tom think the same.
There we go. It's that's tomorrow night. There's no I think they got it set up where there's no confliction with the NBA, but I mean, if they were smart, that's the way they would do it. But what am I? So let's shift gears and start talking some wrestling. Sports Talk is done for this week. So before we get going, I want to ask the panel, what'd you think of the intro last week with the American Dream? Who wants to take that first?
I think it was funky like a monkey.
Ed, what'd you think when you saw it?
I thought it was great. It was perfect.
Phantom?
I wasn't surprised. I was like, what the hell is this?
if you know, he does the Dusty Rhodes impersonating. He's all over social media. His name's Mike. Really cool guy. Happened to come across one of the reels on the podcast on Facebook and kind of went from there. So friend of the show. I told him we would get him on 1 week to talk some wrestling, maybe over the summer. Should be kind of fun. Just wanted to mention that before we talk. One of the segments that we've been following during the season is Dark Side of the Ring. They have what do they call those four-part docuseries, right? On Who Killed WCW? I think it's produced by The Rock. Ripley was a little hurt that he wasn't asked to be on it. I can honestly say, not that I was a huge Ric Flair fan growing up. I think it's a shame that he wasn't on the show. I think at least he could have added some kind of insight to it because he was there for the whole run. Ed, thoughts on the series?
From what I saw so far, I thought it was pretty good. There are certain things I didn't know about Eric Bischoff that came to light in that first episode. I didn't realize that he had worked for Vern Gagne for AWA before he came in there. And I didn't know the way that he was offered the position with Ted Turner. And, you know, being a fellow sales weasel like him, I can appreciate, hey, somebody gives you an opportunity like that, you'll figure it out as you go along. So I think he did a good job so far. I thought the documentary was was interesting. It was entertaining. It seemed to really flow pretty quick. I really don't like how they're breaking it up into what, 3 or 4 episodes. It's something they could have done in four. It's something that they could have done in 2 nights, you know? So I thought it was pretty good. And you know, there are certain things I didn't realize, you know, I didn't realize that Kevin Nash was in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That was something I didn't know. So some things that I didn't remember, and to not have Ric Flair in there, like, you know, I mean, he's been kind of a horse's ass lately. And you know, he's one of my favorite wrestlers growing up and that type of thing. And, you know, to not have him in there, that they are kind of doing a disservice. So that's my thoughts.
Phantom, what do you got?
I thought it was pretty good. I like how they kind of reviewed back when the whole emergence of like the Sting Crow character, and how they kind of fucked up the like where we talk about now, like the finishing the story kind of a thing. That thing was set up so perfect for Sting to take back WCW with a clean win over Hogan, and just knowing that like Hogan undermined him and Bishop went along with it. And it kind of like they still put the belt on him, but it should have been clean. He took back WCW, and then he could have went with the story from there. Well, I don't think that was like the downfall of it all. I think that part of it actually came after. But if you're not booking well, it screws up everything, because all it takes is for one little hiccup, and especially the ending. It's like watching a good movie and then have a fucking shitty ending, like you know, the Game of Thrones ending, you know, like fucking phenomenal, best series ever, and then it's a fucking stinker at the end, you know?
Like that movie Heat.
Yeah, they blew that, and, you know, the stuff with Bischoff, I agree with Ed. It's like the guy's like the ultimate salesman. He kind of just talked him into thinking that he could handle it all, and, I mean, I think you got to give him credit. He did a great job coming from where he came from. I think he should have just kind of like wrote it his own way, did things the right way, rather than, I think once he got Hogan had his ear and he just was like riding the big star all the way till the end.
We're going to ask the Young Bucks thoughts on the WCW series. If you didn't watch it, we can get caught up next week. And just thoughts on WCW in general. Go ahead, Bradford.
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to watch it yet. I'm gonna get caught up this weekend. It's definitely on my list. I say the same thing about WCW as I say about AEW. You know, WWE needs it, their competition to thrive, because it makes their product come out more entertaining. It's more quality that way when there's healthy competition between the two brands. I see AEW making some of the same mistakes that WCW made with giving their stars creative control. They need to have a legit booker, you know, instead of letting a fanboy book. You know, I think that kind of happened in both instances, or at least letting the stars have creative control. Like you said, Hogan kind of undermining the match with Sting and having that written into his contract so he could make those calls on the fly. But that's not good for the brand. It's not good for the business. They need to have, you know, someone strict in WCW or in AEW, because they're making the same mistakes that I saw in WCW. So I can't wait to get into the show, really get into it, you know, deep dive into the weeds. So,
Chris, thoughts on WCW?
Yeah. It was great. What a good question in the title, right? Who killed WCW? Was it Vince Russo? Was it Ted Turner? Was it the whole AOL merger with Time Warner? It could have been so many different things that ended up failing. Obviously, I think just the way Vince McMahon was running WWF at that time. I remember exactly at that time in school when I was big into WWF and Stone Cold was coming up. There was still a few kids that were watching WCW, and they're like, no, WCW is better. And I'm trying to get into WCW at the time. I'm trying to watch. And to me, it was like a soap opera. They were sitting around the living room couches, talk a bunch of bullshit back and forth talking. I just remember for me being that a huge turnoff, you know? So to me, ultimately, I think what really killed him was just like costly talent acquisitions, the contracts between that and just creative missteps, man. It was just the show just became so like you couldn't even be invested in. You couldn't feel like, oh shit, did that just happen? You never had that moment. It just all seemed so fake in a way, you know. That's what I got out of it.
So before I go to the professor, my favorite quote from that first episode was Conan's quote, which said, out of all the merchandise that you ever saw in the history of WCW, there's only one shirt you still see, and it's the NWO. So you know it had some kind of gears behind it and some kind of pop culture kind of cross thing going on there. So Thomas, thoughts on the first episode?
Well, let me just say that I was going to mention Conan. I think he's going to be great as the series gets going, because he's one of those guys that he doesn't give a shit who he pisses off, and he doesn't care if he burns any fences or anything, and he's going to speak his mind. So I think that's going to be really, really cool to see somebody. And they've got a few different voices on this one where usually some of these, you see the same guys talking, at least it seems like they're going to have some different voices on here. So I'm looking forward to it. And there was a couple things I didn't realize. Like, I didn't realize Sting was supposed to be the third member of NWO, and he didn't want to do it. So that's when they ended up getting Hogan to, they signed Hogan to come in and do it. But I didn't realize that, but goes along with Sting's, I don't want to say his character, but I mean, he never a heel, I don't think. So, I mean, that I found interesting.
Yeah. So it's going to be three more episodes. They're going to get into it with Russo. I still see sound clips from Medusa's coming on. I like that they got Kevin Sullivan. We just mentioned him last week or the week before that on the podcast. There's still so many guys that they should have reached out to and got a few different, you know, guys that were a little bit, and they didn't even talk to Bret Hart yet. And he's got a couple good FUs in there too. So speaking of guys that speak their mind, it's time for Thomas, the tinfoil hat.
Hold on. I got one more wrestling note I'd like to mention. I don't know if you guys have heard, but the whole Vince McMahon, Janelle Grant, is that her name? Mm-hmm. The federal government has asked Janelle Grant to pause her lawsuit because they have their own investigation into McMahon and some stuff going on. So they didn't want to have the two collide. So they've asked her to pause her lawsuit, and she has. And another thing is another former star has come out, and it's Missy Hyatt. And she has come out, and she's actually volunteered. She's spoken to Janelle Grant's lawyer, and she's volunteered to testify both for in that lawsuit and for the feds, because she talks about an incident that happened when she was there. And supposedly when she was working with them, they all went out. She said her, Vince McMahon, she mentioned Mean Gene. They all went out, and a couple other people went out for drinks and dinner. And she said that at one time during the dinner, she said Mean Gene spills his drink on her. And she said afterwards that Mean Gene told her that they did it to see how she was going to react. So mm-hmm. I guess later on in the night, she went back to a hotel room. And a few minutes after that, she gets a knock on the door, and it was Vince McMahon trying to get into her hotel room. And I guess he tried to force himself a little bit on her. She kicked him out of the room, got him out of the room. Well, 2 weeks later, they fired her. So she has come forward now, and she's ready to testify, I guess.
Wow. And another, maybe a Hall of Famer. Maybe she never got in the Hall of Fame. So
I want to be surprised if a lot of these chicks stop coming out of the woodworks and saying that if that McMahon did something to him, even if he didn't, just to pile on.
Yeah, you never know. The plot thickens.
Not that he's not a scumbag, but it just kind of make like Missy Hyatt, like, fuck off.
high moral compass right there.
Yeah.
Tom, want to take us into the tinfoil hat?
Okay. Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week is brought to you by the 1973 podcast store. Check out both stores at either www.bonfire.com/store/1973-podcast-store/ or our other store at spreadshop.admin/spreadshirt.com/1973-podcast/. Well, the easiest way you can do it is we're going to have a QR code up here when this gets download it, and just take that and click it, and it'll send you right to the website.
Or if you're really slow.
Hey, Tom.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Can you repeat that again?
No.
I really right now.
No.
To write that down took longer than the NBA talk.
Between the two shops, we have t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, cooking aprons, tote bags, and mugs. So go check it out and support the podcast.
You said mugs, not jugs, right, Tom?
Yes.
Okay, just to be clear.
Can't afford the jugs.
No, not even close. Not even close. Bradford,
the floor. If there was more jugs, I would have came on earlier.
Yeah. We had jugs, Chris would show up on time.
I'm not into that.
Oh, my God.
My goodness.
Bradford, can we get serious for a moment?
I'm going to try my hardest. Also, I'd like to thank the fans for voting Tinfoil Hat the most popular segment so far on the YouTube poll. So if you haven't voted yet, go in and vote. Make sure you vote for Tinfoil Hat so I stay on top.
Oh, that was you, your wife, and your son.
I made them all log in.
Hey,
yes.
He only got two votes.
Shut up, man. Somebody said, hell no, I'm not voting for that.
He threw you in the bus.
Y'all give me 1 second? Y'all give me 5 seconds. Let me sell something, all right?
Wow. I didn't think Tom had it in him. He's such a nice guy. He just fucking threw you right
in. You guys are killing the illusion here, man.
Right now, Brad's voting for himself. Yeah. Ed's like, we got a poll?
Pretty much, yeah.
Man,
it's used to a poll. What are you talking about?
I had this great pitch, this great lead-in. Y'all just can't let me have nothing. That's what it is. That's what it is.
Can't have nothing.
All right, stars can't win. The Mavs are struggling. Y'all just can't let me have anything. I get it. Okay.
We can't let you have anything. Your favorite Disney movie is Song of the South.
Whoa, no, it is not. No, sir.
It closed the whole ride down.
No, that is not my... Hey, where's the legal team? Disclaimer, not my favorite Disney movie at all. Not even close. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's move on. This week's tinfoil hat. Let me introduce... technology to these old folks and share this. It's very interesting. All right. Can y'all see what's on my screen?
Yep.
And
so this is the Leviathan conspiracy theory. So it's a biblical beast. It rises from the dead. It's supposed to be a symbol of like the end times, the end of the world. So some really smart people got on Google Earth and they found this image. Basically, it's like the northern tip of Antarctica where it hits Argentina and Chile. This looks like a giant snake's head. Am I right? You guys can see the eyes, the snout. These are actually the Sandwich Islands. And if you get really deep into it, it actually looks like a snake's body is coiled. You can see like the outline, like it's coiled all the way around Antarctica. So it's really interesting. A lot of folks looking at it. Also, there's like a shit ton of research stations on Antarctica. Pretty weird, right? How much research does it take to find ice and snow and cold? There's a shit ton of research stations down there. But the Leviathan theories, this isn't just like my whole bit. This is only the first part of it. So during the solar eclipse that just happened, like the day after, a wind and wave forecast tool started showing a very large anomaly on their wave forecast. And a lot of people started saying maybe it was a Leviathan. So the website is called Vent2Sky. So let me see if I can pull that up real quick so y'all can see it. It's really interesting. Let me move this over. Well, maybe not. Why is this toolbar up here? Oh, I moved it. There we go. So this was the forecast tool. So right after the solar eclipse, there was this huge, they call it the blob. It showed up once. Everybody freaked out. It was showing like 50, 60 foot waves. All I could find of it was an image right here. So can y'all see that? This was the blob off the tip of Africa. It showed up for about a day. It blew up on Instagram and TikTok. What do you know? Vent2Sky came out and said it was an error in the algorithm. So they pulled it down. All was well. Everybody talked about it. We all got spun up. Conspiracy theory started coming. I think it might be an underwater UFO coming to the surface. Some people think it's Leviathan. Anyway, it disappeared. It fell off. Nobody cared. Until recently, it showed up again. It has actually showed up multiple times. They keep saying it's an error in the algorithm, and it's gotten so popular with folks and conspiracy theorists that Vent2Sky had to pull their whole site down for a couple of days to try and fix it. So I don't know. You guys tell me what you think. I think it's pretty compelling. Can't really miss an anomaly like that. And for them to say it's just an algorithm error and then it happens repeatedly, I don't know. I have some questions. And the whole snakehead thing, you know, really threw me for a loop. So I'll let Tom kind of dissect it there. I know he's chomping at the bit.
No, this was a good one. I like it.
Yeah, nice.
I'm just glad that when Brad went to the Google Maps, there wasn't a Pornhub tab in the top.
I have to sanitize the desktop before we get going.
Good man. Good man. Thomas, what are your thoughts?
I like his, he put up a compelling thing there. I have nothing to say on it. I agree with him. It is pretty interesting. I might have to do a little research on it.
So are you thinking that that's a underwater like UFO, Brad? Is that... that's a thought on that?
I think
that's a pretty good size.
I think at one time, like, we would be insane to think there weren't giant creatures of some sort. We have petrified mountains that look like tree stumps. We have petrified rock that looks, there's a formation in Thailand in the jungle. It looks like three whales swimming. But they just call it Whale Mountain. So I think at one time there were probably some giant creatures, and that explains the snakehead around Antarctica. As far as the anomaly goes, I don't think it's that far removed to say that maybe that would be like an underwater UFO coming to the surface. I mean, we have not even begun to explore the depths of the ocean. NASA started as an underwater exploration organization, and then they gave up on it for some reason. They called it quits and turned their attention towards space, if you even believe in space, right? It's part of their whole you know, Matrix, you know, programming. So I don't know, man.
Space is the final frontier.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see if the anomaly pops up again. I want to see it pop up, and then maybe somebody go out there and see if they can find it instead of just making a TikTok, you know? That's my challenge to all the conspiracy theorists. Go out there and find the anomaly. Don't just post it on TikTok. So,
Ed,
I would think it was like the government fucking around. Some kind of...
Anything. That big of a space is like the size of Texas. 50, 60-foot waves.
The stuff that they say like comes out of Antarctica, you never know what kind of weather shit or some kind of stuff that they're messing around with.
Yeah, I'm surprised at how many research stations they actually have in Antarctica. It's a lot. And then they're also saying like whatever this anomaly is making sea life go crazy, in particular orcas, killer whales. Killer whales for the last year or so have been attacking yachts, like in the Mediterranean and off these like really ritzy like seaports. They've been sinking yachts full, you know, ships essentially. And then recently, 20 or 30 of them just washed up on sea and were like screaming. That is the best way to describe it. And everybody was freaking out. They couldn't figure out why they're screaming and how to get them back in the water. Like they refused to go back in the water. So folks are starting to say like, well, if Leviathan is coming, it's freaking out the sea life. So I don't know.
Chris, you look like you were right on the edge of your seat watching that map.
Yeah, man. It's a lot of information to take in. I blame the anomaly or whatever it's called on the aliens. I blame that on the aliens. And that serpent looking thing is definitely my homeboy Santino Morello with the cobra. That's what he's at.
Ed, you want to add to that conspiracy theory?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, maybe it's the Legion of Doom.
Oh.
Ooh.
Meanwhile.
I mean, it could be. I mean, you never know. No, I do find it.
Don't forget, they're both dead.
Okay, there we go. That's the wrong Legion of Doom.
That's the wrong Legion of Doom. What's the
Legion of Doom I was talking about? But yes,
close, but wrong at the same time.
Yes. Yes. Good pull.
Now, I will say that it is very interesting that, you know, from the standpoint of that there's so many research centers down in Antarctica. That's very odd. Brad, there was a treaty that was signed, wasn't there, back in like 19, like, you know, in the middle of World War One or something, that they, mm-hmm. that there would be no militarization of Antarctica. Isn't that correct? I think that there's a lot of things that we don't know. I think there's a lot of things that, you know, as general population, we probably shouldn't know about. And to circle back about the thing about trees, like the gigantic trees and stuff like that, for anybody to think that we're like the first society to be here, I think you're wrong, because if you look at the pyramids and you look at in Egypt and in Central America and South America and in Asia, they're gigantic. And with the technology that they allegedly had back in those days, you can't do it. And so I think that, you know, you talk about the giant people and stuff like that, not to go all biblical and stuff like that, but, you know, David versus Goliath. Goliath was one of the big people, you know. And allegedly, you know, there were still quite a few of them kicking around and that type of thing through, you know, 1700s and 1800s. And at pretty much the turn of the century, the big people were, you know, no longer alive.
Also headline WrestleMania 3 with Hulk Hogan.
There you go.
Right? Hall of Fame.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. I'm really quick,
before we move off the conspiracy theory stuff, did you, I'm pretty much talking to Brad, but it's an open one. Did you see that story about that marine biologist with the big cage that he found off the coast of Maryland? Did you ever hear that story?
No.
Marine biologist was on an expedition doing work at sea, and a storm came in, blew him off course, and he was way out off the coast of Maryland. And when the storm passed, he had noticed under the boat that there was this cage under the water. And he put on his scuba gear, went down, starts looking at this cage. It's like, wow, this thing is massive. It's like as far as I can see one way, as far as I can see another way, and as far down as I can see. And the bars were huge and all that. And so he starts swimming along the cage. He notices some signs that say property of NASA, Zone F, stay away, all these other things. And then, so he starts swimming around the cage and starts the surface, and then he hears like this loud banging, so he stops. So he's looking in, the water's murky, he can't see through the darkness of the ocean or whatever. So he submerges along the side of the cage going up towards the boat, and he sees, as he's getting on the boat, a 70-foot shark in the cage. He goes back, gets his buddies, and 2 weeks later he had mapped it via sonar where it was gone when he went back. Kind of a crazy story. This was like 25 years ago. So yeah, I mean, what is the X-Files used to say? The truth is out there. So
yep.
So speaking of the truth, Thomas, you're gonna bring us back, talk some album of the week. Let's go.
All right. This week's album of the week is brought to you by Purchase Street Records, located at 53 Pope's Island, Unit 2, New Bedford, Mass., or online at purchasestrecords.com. They also have a Facebook page you can check out. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store.
So let's wrap things up for this week. We're already almost an hour and a half into this bad boy. So a lot of good topics this week. Great email to start. So, Chris, shout out for the week. Let's start with you.
All right. Let's go with right here. Waking up from the wrestling ring to the yoga mat. I think we can call him a friend at this point. Brandon Higgins. Knuckles Nelson. Sure. I actually started reading it into the thick of it right now, where he's talking about how he kind of spiraled with, the drugs and all that, obviously, just like most wrestlers. But to talk to him now and see how established he is in life, successful, awesome book so far. I'm loving it. You can't help but get emotionally invested in it. So very good. Can't wait to finish it. And I can't wait for the next time he comes on so I can talk about it with him.
Yeah, you can buy it on Amazon. Ed, what do you got this week?
Well, two things. Joe Lyons, big shout out, had a big shindig this weekend, the other night in Boston. Congratulations, Joe, friend of me from college and friend of the show, and couldn't be any proud of you, bud. Congratulations. And then number two, Eric, don't be so cheap, buy the mug.
Bradford, what do you got this week?
Not really a shout out, just a reminder that June is Men's Mental Health Month. If you guys are upset, feeling down, depressed, struggling with mental health issues, just for anybody who's listening to the show, don't be afraid or ashamed to reach out, call somebody. There are hotlines, helplines, and resources available, far more resources than were available 10 or 20 years ago. And, by all means, look me up on the show, on the pod, hit me up on socials, and I'm happy to talk anytime, day or night. Don't let it go.
Put a little comedic twist on that there, Bradford. I was want everybody to know that Father's Day is next weekend, and it's number 20 on a holiday list of holidays celebrated. Mother's Day is number 2. Christmas is number 1. Father's Day is number 20. So Arbor Day. More people celebrate Arbor Day than they do Father's Day. So
it's crazy.
The way that I look at it is, don't lump us all together. There's good ones and there's a lot of bad ones. So if you are lucky enough to have your dad, think about him on Father's Day and treat him right. Speaking of fathers, Phantom, what do you got?
I don't got too much. I got nothing. I'll thank the boys. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
Thomas, you're going to close us this week.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to all the teachers out there, because my wife is a teacher and this school year has been crazy. She's got 6 more days and she's been counting down. She's got it down to a second when she gets out. These kids today are freaking nuts. So I just want to give a shout out to all the teachers out there. You're all doing a good job.
Absolutely.
And speaking of good jobs, good job, guys. Another episode in the book. Ed, what episode was it?
It was number 69.
So hopefully the next milestone we're going to hit is 75th episode. We're going to try to reach out to everybody that we've had on the show and just have one big celebration in a couple of weeks. It'll be during the thick of the summer, so hopefully we can get everybody on. So from us to you, here we go. Another one in the books. Like, subscribe, and all that other crap.
Don't be so cheap. Buy our gear.
Yeah, buy some stuff.